Book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41 this morning. Turn me up just a little bit there, brother. Genesis chapter 41. There you go. Thank you, brother. And I want to begin looking in verse number 1 this morning. We've been continuing on in a study on the life of Joseph, and I looked at going for a message this week, maybe kind of fitting for the day, being the day is Palm Sunday, but I'm just impressed by God to stay right here. And so I got a lot of scripture to read this morning, and so we won't take a lot of time as an introduction this morning, but if you can and able, we'd love to ask you to stand this morning. Let's honor the reading of God's holy word. Genesis chapter 41. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow." Now, kine, if you look it up and try to discern what a kine is, it's some folks say it's a cow. Some folks say it's another animal. It certainly is large enough to be a cow. If you read here in verse 3, the Bible says that they're out by the river, and they would eat out of the river. And it kind of almost reminds you of a hippopotamus that sat by the river. Now, when you look in verse number 1, it says that Pharaoh dreamed he stood by the river. This is by the Nile River in Africa that he is having a vision of. But in any event, though, the Bible says that there were 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. These are healthy animals, in other words. "And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good." Now, rank means it's very healthy. It's coming up with full ears on it. It's a big stalk, in other words. "And behold, 7 thin ears. And blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler," everybody remember him from chapter 40, "then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, Is it not in me, or it is not in me? God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that was the dream that was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old. And mark that now, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. You may be seated this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for the fact, Lord, that you love this world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. God, you told us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I thank you for the promise of your word. God, one day I came to your Son Jesus. God, he called me. Lord, the Holy Ghost drew me. And by faith I came, Lord, understanding, Lord, that I was a sinner. And understanding, Lord, that Lord, I deserved the punishment for my sins. But God, I come understanding that Jesus took the punishment on the cross of Calvary. And God, I accepted his work. And Lord, by faith I was saved. And God, I pray that you'd move upon every heart this morning, Lord. There could be someone here today, Lord, and most likely is in a crowd this size. Lord, they sit this morning, Lord, Father, outside, Lord, of the promise of redemption. God had never been saved, never been born again. God, I pray, Lord, that you would allow the message of the cross to speak to them today. God, that they might see Jesus. Lord, that they might see his grace and mercy for their lives. God, that they might understand, Lord, their condition. And God, that they're on a road, Lord, that leads to hell. God, they don't have to go there, Lord. It was a place that was not even prepared for them. But God, that they can come, Lord, by faith and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, and know before they leave here today, their name is written in heaven and they have eternal life. God, let your word go forth into our hearts today. Give us minds that are attentive, Lord, and take all, Father, everything the devil tries to distract us with, Lord, take it all away today. Lord Jesus, we pray. And Lord, we might focus on you and your cross, and we'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Folks, the last time we saw Joseph, he was languishing in an Egyptian prison. He was in prison even though he hadn't broken one law. He was in prison because he'd done the right thing, to be honest about it. And he had done the right thing and he had honored God in his life. But he was in prison because he had refused the advances of that wicked woman, Potiphar's wife. And when the last time we saw Joseph, he was in a place of hardship. But even in that place of hardship, he was still faithfully serving the Lord. He was a man, to be honest, guys, he was a man who had his priorities in order. Because wherever Joseph was, you could count on Joseph to be faithful to God. And when we last saw Joseph, remember, Joseph was waiting for a visitor. He told the chief butler that when he interpreted his dream and spoke well to him, he said, when Pharaoh puts you back into the place, into that position of respect and authority again, he said, put in a good word for me. He said, don't forget me out here in prison, the one that helped you. Don't forget about me. And the old chief butler went up and the dream was interpreted and it happened just exactly as Joseph said it would happen. And what did old chief butler do? He forgot all about Joseph. He got restored back to the place of prosperity and prestige, and he forgot the one who caused him to get there. And so Joseph is waiting for this chief butler to come back or waiting for someone to get him out of prison after he had asked the chief butler to remember him. But you know what, folks? In our text today, we find that God began to move in the life of Joseph. God moved in a different way at this point in time. Up until this point in time, God had favored Joseph. God had his favor down the life of Joseph. And Jacob, who his father was, also had favor, more favor on Joseph than he did the rest of the family. And it caused problems in the family with Joseph. And Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and he was taken down to Egypt and he was sold into the house of Potiphar. And he became the head over Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife began to eyeball him and made her advances at him. And when he refused, Potiphar's wife lied on him and caused Potiphar to come and place him into a prison. And now he's been in prison. And he was 17 years old when he went, when he was sold into slavery and thrown into that old pit. He was 17 years old. Now, as we've read, he's 30 years old. Folks, 13 years has passed by that Joseph has been a slave. 13 years has gone by, and where's God in all of this? 13 years has went by, and I've been faithful to serve you, Lord. I've been faithful to maintain mine integrity. I've been faithful to do what was right, even when all the circumstances would cry out for me to do wrong. I've been faithful, but yet for 13 years, I'm still languishing as a slave in Egypt. But folks, let me tell you something. Something happened in the life of Joseph. And what that something was opportunity came knocking. And folks, that's what I want to preach about this morning is simply a message entitled, Is Opportunity Knocking? And I want you to look today because in our text, we're going to watch how Joseph is delivered from prison and promoted to a place in the palace. And we're going to see it by looking at the unseen hand of God in the life of Joseph. And we're also going to see what God did for him. And understanding what God did for Joseph, we understand the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what God did in the life of Joseph, God can also do in the lives of all of us today. But folks, we need to listen and put on some spiritual ears and see if opportunity is knocking. Because for some of you this morning, God could be right there at the door knocking, wanting to come in. And folks, we need to hear whether the presence of God. So I want to join Joseph again and notice the circumstances surrounding Joseph this morning. And folks, opportunity came knocking in Joseph's life. And Joseph was taken from the prison under the palace. And if if you and I are going to be promoted into a place of favor by God, we need to understand some things about Joseph that allowed this to happen. And the first thing I want you to see is the character that Joseph exhibited. The character that Joseph exhibited. Folks, the Bible teaches us that the things of the Old Testament was written for our examples. And folks, if it was written for our examples, it would behoove us to take a look and focus on the life of Joseph and what type of person Joseph was. If we want to receive the favor of God, then we need to understand who God wants us to be. And if we can be who God wants us to be, God then lavishes His favor upon our lives. And that's what happened. It didn't happen overnight with Joseph. Folks, we live in a fast food society today where everything is done at the snap of a finger. Folks, used to, we thought dial-up internet was wonderful, didn't we? But now if you've got on dial-up, you can't stand because how slow it is. And now we want high-speed connections. Used to, we thought dialing the phone was good enough. But now we know being tied to a cord is no good. And that's why about 80% of Americans now carry cell phones so they can get in touch with somebody at that very instant. Used to going and sitting down in the restaurant or sitting around the kitchen table at home and having dinner together and spending an hour, 2 hours in dinner with the family and talking and having a good time. That was a wonderful thing, but now it's not quick enough anymore. Now we've got McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and all these other fast food joints with these drive-through windows where we can drive on through and just get what we want right then. And folks, we're awful disappointed many times when we don't get what we want when we want it at the time we think we ought to have it. But Joseph didn't allow that to get to him. Joseph was in the slavery of Egypt for 13 years, but never in the writings of the book of Genesis do you find Joseph complain. Never in the writings of the book of Genesis do you ever find Joseph giving up hope. Never in the writings of the book of Genesis do you ever find that Joseph throws his hands up and quits. But no, Joseph waited upon the Lord because Joseph had character. And I want you to tell this morning and look with me and see the character that Joseph exhibited. The first thing is that Joseph exhibited a patient spirit. Joseph exhibited a patient spirit. And folks, we already told you, 13 years Joseph languished in this prison. And folks, many times we don't understand why we go through what we go through in life. Many times we don't understand the circumstances surrounding the trial that we find ourselves in. We don't understand why it is God allows this to happen or allows this over here to go on or all these things. But folks, whether we understand it or not, the truth of the matter is that God is trying to develop something in our lives. And with Joseph, Joseph was on a training ground. And folks, the first thing Joseph got from his daddy was Joseph got a robe of many colors, a coat of many colors. And the reason he got that was because Joseph did what his father told him to do in the years leading up to that time. He would keep the flock when his dad told him to. He would tend to the fields. He would do those things his dad told him to. And when those other boys were older and they had the right to the throne of the household, it was Joseph who was the one that received the coat of many colors. God was training Joseph, and here he was in the coat of many colors. And then along the lines, he got thrown in the prison. He got sold into slavery, and he ends up down in Egypt. But then he gets placed in a position where he's head over Potiphar's house. That's a small-scale kind of thing, maybe. You know, Potiphar's just one man. He's got a wife, and he's got all these goods. And by the way, Potiphar had so much, he didn't know what all he had, the Bible said. But nevertheless, that's kind of a small-scale operation. But God was using that to train Joseph. And Joseph learned how to deal with things. Joseph learned how to manage the family finances. Joseph learned how to make sure the family was taken care of. Joseph learned how to do the books. Joseph learned all these things. He learned how to set some aside for days when they may not be so much. He learned all of those things, and God was using that to train him. And you know what? Potiphar trusted Joseph in running the affairs of his household. But old Potiphar's wife got in there and mixed all that up, messed it up for Joseph. Next
next thing you know, Joseph's laying down in the prison. But yet God intervenes again. And now we go from Joseph, who's kind of head over the family. Now he's head over the household. And now God's put him on a bigger stage. And he's now head over the prison house. And you may say, well, you know, who wants to be the head over the prison house? Well, probably none of us, but God was using that to train Joseph. And now he's on a larger scale operation. No longer now is he just keeping up with one woman and one man and their goods. He's keeping up with everybody that's in the prison. And he's taking care of them and making sure their needs are met. Making sure they're all right. Making sure that they're in the right place at the right time. Making sure they get what's coming to them. And Joseph's on this scale. And God is using that to train Joseph. Could God be using your circumstance this morning to train you for something greater? Could he? Could he? I say he is. I say he is. You say, but preacher, my circumstance is a mess. God's using that to train you. You may even stand here today and say, preacher, and I've been guilty of this before, but you may say, preacher, my mess of my circumstance is my fault. I made the mess. How in the world is God using that to train me? Folks, when you make a mess, it teaches you how not to make a mess again. It teaches you how to do better the next time. It teaches you this didn't work the way I thought it would. I need to go back, reevaluate this thing, and get it right a second time. Folks, that's how God works. And folks, trial and error many times, they're not a fun teachers. But you know what? They're the best teacher you and I'll ever know. Because when we get involved in something, whether it was our doings or somebody else's doing, God is training us for something greater. Hey, over in the book of James, you and I have read this many times, but over in the book of James in chapter number 1, the Bible says, knowing this, church, this ought to be something you know right here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience, and here's what Joseph had to do. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Folks, that's what happens when you allow God to work in the midst of your circumstances. Yes, you may have to be patient. Yes, you may have to endure the trials. Yes, you may have to go through something in this life. But if you'll go through it and go through it with the right integrity, go through it with the right character, folks, let me tell you something. God will use that for His glory and for your benefit. Folks, Joseph, the Bible says, had a patient spirit. And secondly, Joseph had a forgiving spirit. Here's where a lot of people's mired up right now. Let me tell you what I'm talking about right here. Look in verses 14 through 16 of what we read. I don't have time to just analyze every little verse, but I'm going to give you some good points that God wants us to have this morning. In verses 14 through 16, you know, Pharaoh has these dreams. And Pharaoh, you know, gets his magicians together and says, tell me what in the world this stuff means. And those magicians couldn't figure it out. And that butler says, I remember my faults. I believe that's in verse 9, if I'm not wrong. And he said, I remember that old servant, that old Hebrew servant when he was down in prison. Remember, King, when you got mad at me and the old baker, and we landed down there in prison? Boy, there's an old Hebrew servant down there, and he and I had a dream, that old baker and I did, and he interpreted the dream to us, and lo and behold, it turned out exactly like he interpreted it. And you know what? Pharaoh said, well, man, get that guy and bring him out of there and get him up here to where I'm at so I can tell him my dreams. And so the Bible says Joseph was taken out of prison. Now, he cleans himself up, and I'm going to get back to that in a little bit. But anyway, he comes out of prison, and he lands in the place right in front of Pharaoh. Here he's eye to eye with Pharaoh now. And Pharaoh says, hey, Joseph, I had a dream. Really, I had two dreams. And none of these guys that's on the payroll here can tell me what it means. And they told me you can interpret dreams. There's nobody like you anywhere around. And I want you to tell me what this means. Now, here's Joseph. Sold into slavery, never done a thing wrong to his brothers. Brothers sold him into slavery. Goes down to Potiphar's house. Lands as head of that household, Brother Ward, but Potiphar's wife lies on him, gets him thrown into prison. While he's in prison, Brother Mitch, the old chief butler said, I'll remember you when I get out of here. And he forgot all about him, and he's languished 2 more years in it. He's been 13 years of being wronged by everybody that come his way. He had his opportunity to have it out. He had his opportunity to say, hey, Pharaoh, I know what your dream means, but you and I are going to make a little deal here. Number one, there's this issue about this old boy named Potiphar and his sorry wife. And number two, where's that old chief baker at? Or not baker, but where's that old chief butler at? That lying dog that said he'd help me. Before I give you anything at all, I'm going to have those two heads on a platter. That's not what he said. How many of us would have stood there and said, Pharaoh, let me tell you my sob story first. Let me tell you how everybody's done me wrong. Let me tell you. But you know what he did? He said, Brother Ward, he said, it's not me that can interpret your dreams. It's God that can tell you. He didn't even talk about what he had been through. Some of us can't get off the phone long enough crying the blues about what we've been through. Some of us can't get out of somebody's face long enough telling them how bad we've been done. Let me tell you something. It's coming a time as a child of God, we start leaving that trash behind. Get it out of there. Stop dwelling on it and throw it by the wayside and go on for the glory of God. Hey, old Joseph. You know what happened to Joseph in 13 years, Brother Eric? Is that God cultivated a forgiving spirit in Joseph. How long is it going to take you to get a forgiving spirit? Hey, Joseph had one. Joseph had one. Now, not only did he have a patient spirit and a forgiving spirit, but he had a dependent spirit as well. When old Pharaoh called Joseph up, he come before him. He could have tooted his own horn, couldn't he? Well, I'm glad you caught me today, Pharaoh. Why, them old lesser knowns you've hired over there, they can't tell you what this is. I'm the only one in town that offers this service. Call me. Here's my business card. Next time you get in trouble, you let me know. No, he didn't do that. He never tooted his own horn. You know what he said? He was honest. He was honest with Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, he said, I can't help you. I can't do anything for you, Pharaoh. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. I know the one who can. Let me tell you something, church. Glory to God. I can't help you this morning, but glory to God, I know one that can. I can't down the cross for you, but glory to God, I know the one who did. I can't raise up from the dead for you, but hallelujah, I know the one who did. And he's the one that can help you this morning. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you face, God can help you today. He had a dependent spirit. And folks, now I reminded us at the beginning. I reminded us. These things are written for our examples. And this is what God wants in our lives. God wants us to have patience. He's cultivating a patient spirit. He's cultivating a forgiving spirit. Now, I'm not talking about one that is going to give the what for. I'm talking about one that leaves the what for behind. And a dependent spirit. One that says, God, I realize I can't do this on my own. God, I can't get out of this mess on my own. This one calls me to land here. And God, they've left me and won't help me no more. I can't do it. God, I got my own self in this mess. Lord, here I am and I can't get out of it. You know, that's how I got saved. I come to God one night and I said, God, I can't do anything with this. God, I've made a mess of it. And I don't know if you can do anything with it or not, God. I don't know if you'll ever put it back together. But I said, God, if you'll just save me. I said, I'll serve you, Lord. And let me tell you something, God saved me. And the only way you'll ever be saved is realizing you can't do anything to merit the favor of God. You can't do anything to help your situation. But you've got to give it to Jesus. Let Him take it because He's the only one that has the ability to help you. Hey, now, that's the characteristics Joseph exhibited. Now, secondly, I want you to see the comprehension Joseph exercised. The comprehension that Joseph exercised. Now, church, this isn't deep stuff I'm going to give you today. This is real simple things you and I can put into practice. When we leave here today, we can put this stuff into practice. The first thing is that Joseph prepared himself for when the opportunity had come. Joseph prepared himself for when the opportunity would come. I don't know what news channel you watch, but on a lot of these different local stations, you know, down in Charlotte, we're on the old satellite, and we get the Charlotte channels as locals, and the different channels there. I think Channel 36 does the Channel 36 job bank, and they try to tell you where jobs are at in Charlotte. Maybe you can go apply for it. And this one does this, and this one does that. Well, if you get up early in the morning and watch that Fox station, that Fox News Rising, you get on there, and they have what's called the 30-second job pitch. And they start throwing people out. And what they did is they get people to send their resumes and qualifications into the station. And the station picks people out of that pile of resumes and stuff and calls them and says, I want you to come down to the station at a certain time, and we're going to give you 30 seconds to pitch yourself over the airwaves as to why people should hire you, people that are out of work, and get 30 seconds in front of this regional Charlotte office where there's probably 2, 3, 5 million people watching, you know, lots of folks watching this, and hopefully potential employers are watching this stuff. And I've watched some of them come in, and they've done a good job. They've had all their ducks in a row. They said, my name is such and such, and my experience is in this right here, and this is why you should hire me. Boom, 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 boom. Got it. And I thought, that's pretty good. And I've watched some of the other ones, Brother Eric. Now, they've been called by the station, and they said, now you're going to come down and pitch yourself. And they knew this was coming. They're out of work. They need a job. This is their opportunity. And they come out there and they spit and they sputter and they can't get anything out. And I'm thinking, why did you not stand before a mirror for a few days and practice this thing and get it right? So when you come and stand before the camera, you look like somebody that wants to get hired or somebody that should get hired. And we got folks today, God's standing at the door and He's knocking and they're not ready. They haven't prepared. They haven't got their ducks in a row. Their family's still a mess. Their world is still in chaos. Everything's falling all around them, and they've never come to God. They've never repented. They've never got right. They've never went to God in prayer. They won't get in the Word. They won't even be faithful to come to church, and yet they want God to move on their place. Let me tell you something. Joseph was prepared for when God would move. He was prepared. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. I said I'd get back to this. Look at this. You know, maybe when you read this, it don't mean much to you. But God says it means something. Verse 14, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph and brought him hastily. He didn't have much time, Mitch. They drug him out of that dungeon. And he brought him on into Pharaoh. You know what he said? He said, let me clean up first. I want to get prepared when I go stand before the king. Hey, boy, we ought to preach that, hadn't we? I can preach. Somebody amen me on that. You ought to get prepared for the day when you're going to stand before the king. Some of you here this morning ain't prepared for when the king's going to call you. You're still in your sins and still lost and you're still on your way to hell. You're not prepared for when the king... But can I tell you today, it's once appointed unto man to die. And after this, the judgment, there's a day when you're going to stand before this king and you need to be prepared. Joseph was prepared. Can I ask you something this morning? Don't answer me out loud, but can I ask you something this morning? If opportunity comes knocking, are you prepared for it? Are you prepared for it? Are your ducks in a row? Are you where God wants you to be at right now? If opportunity comes knocking, think about it. Are you where? I mean, folks, let me tell you something. God has a marvelous plan for your lives. God loves you. And He says, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God has great things for you. But are you prepared for when He comes by to give it to you? Joseph was prepared. Not only was Joseph prepared for the opportunity, but Joseph used the opportunity to profess God's glory. Joseph used the opportunity to profess God's glory. Pharaoh said, I heard there ain't nobody like you around. He could have just, I'm all cleaned up. That Pharaoh's right. There ain't nobody like me around. Yeah. Wish my head get big, you know. Yeah. Let me show you what I got here, Pharaoh. Now, let me open the book here and tell you what that means. You know what he said? He said, Pharaoh, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But let me give glory to God. He can help you, Pharaoh. He can help you. Hey, church, let's don't think any highly in ourselves than we ought to. Let's give glory to God. Let's use the opportunities of blessings to give glory to God. And let's honor His holy name. Hey, you know what? You've got what you've got in this life. If it's something good, hey, you've got it because God was good to you. You didn't get it because you earned it. You didn't get it because you worked for it. You didn't get it in all those things. God said, don't you know I gave thee the power to obtain wealth? Hey, you didn't get it for any other reason except that God opened the windows of heaven and poured you out a blessing. You didn't have a vessel enough to contain it all. That's why you have what you have today. Hey, and use that. Hey, you don't believe Friday night had that singing here. And we had probably, I think it was, well, they counted for us. I think they said about 130 visitors come in Friday night. And you wouldn't believe the people that come through, Brother Brady, and said, boy, y'all got a beautiful place. Y'all got a beautiful place. And my answer is the same every time somebody says that. I say, yes, we do. God's been so good to us. You record that on the tape and just hit play because I never change my answer. I say, yes, we do, because God's been so good to us. Hey, every time there's an opportunity to glorify yourself, you just turn that thing around and glorify God and you watch God's favor come your way. Hey, He used that opportunity to profess God's glory. And then He used the opportunity to present God's plan. He used the opportunity to present God's plan. Do you know if you're going to be successful, you've got to follow the plan of God? Do you understand if you're going to survive this world, you've got to follow the plan of God? Do you understand when your health is falling apart and it seems like nobody can help you, you've got to follow the plan of God? Do you understand when the finances are falling apart and nobody can help you, you've got to follow the plan of God? Do you understand when all your friends give up on you and they stab you in the back? You've got to follow the plan of God. And Joseph used the opportunity to present God's plan. He said, verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land. Take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in seven plenteous years, and let him gather all the food of those years, and come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. You know what he's saying? Get yourself built up. Get somebody over this that knows what he's doing, and get yourself built up. Because, hey, it ain't always going to be good. It ain't always going to be happy. It ain't always going to be prosperous. It ain't always going to be fat-fleshed. But there's going to come some lean years. There's going to come some times when it ain't going to be, it's not going to be a lot of fun. And he says, hey, you need to have enough stored up so you can survive. Folks, let me tell you something. I know he's talking about material things and that, but we need to hear the spiritual message of that. The Bible said the afflictions of the righteous are many. Aren't you glad though the Lord delivereth out of them all? But let me tell you something. You may be going through a good time right now. You may have things and your ducks in a row, and you may be prosperous and healthy and all these things. And let me tell you something, if that's you right now, I'm telling you, store it up in your spirit. You need to get where God wants you to be all the time, all the place. You need to be in church on Sunday morning. You need to be in church on Sunday night. You need to come on Wednesday night, and I better have some Wednesday night people amen me when I say that. You need to be in the Word of God, reading it every day. You need to be praying and seeking in God's face, because you need to be following the plan of God. And don't come crying to somebody when you haven't done any of that, and then your life turns into a mess and you start crying out for people's pity. It's time to get rid of the pity. It's time to grow up, and it's time to do what God says, because the lean years will come and you need to be prepared for them. And Joseph followed the plan of God. He followed the plan of God. And look what happened. Because he did. See, folks, he was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. And he followed the plan of God in all that he did. And folks, he received a commendation. Look what happened to him. He came out of a prison and he got placed into a place of power. We read over in Psalm 105 how they locked him up in fetters, chains, locked him down. And the Bible even said it hurt him. It's painful. He couldn't even move. I mean, probably couldn't hardly even. And he was absolutely confined. Didn't have the ability to do anything. And God brought him from there to verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. You want to go up to a place of favor? Start following the plan of God. I'm not talking about following it once every 6 weeks either. I'm talking about following it every day. I'm talking about being faithful to God, being faithful to His Word, being faithful to His people, being faithful to His house, doing what God says to do, and doing it all the time, every time, never questioning it in your mind, but just simply doing what God says. And if you do that, God can take you to a place where you have absolutely no effect whatsoever, and He can place you where you can influence the lives of everybody around you. Want to influence that lost person beside you? Want to influence them guys on the job? Want to influence those kids at school? Then live the plan of God. Live the plan of God. Do what God says. Every time He says it, do what the Word of God says. And you'll have influence beyond any influence you'll ever know. He come out of prison. God said, hey, at your word. Brother Eric, I find this wonderful, brother. They shackled him down in that prison. Couldn't move his hands, couldn't move his feet, couldn't use his body to do anything whatsoever to influence anybody. But the one thing they never did do, Brother Donald, I ever read in the Word of God, they never gagged him. Never gagged him. They never took his word. And guess what was influencing them now? His Word. The one thing they never took away from Him was the one thing God used to be their force of influence. We think many times we've got to beat somebody over the head and beat somebody over. Let me tell you something. We don't serve God because we're afraid God's going to beat us over the head. We serve God because His Word says so. That's all there is to it. And we're influenced by the Word of God. Hey, look at this. He not only received a place of power, he received a place of position. Verse 41. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. Start out, Brother Eric. He's over the household. Daddy gave him a robe of many colors, a coat of many colors. He went from being head over a household, and then he became head over Potiphar's house. After a while, he became head over Potiphar's house. He became head over the prison. God just training him and training him and training him for something better, something better, something better, something better. Now, he's head over all of Egypt. And Psalm 105, we find him shackled down. Later on in that chapter that we read, it says he could go anywhere he wanted to go. Why? Why did all that happen to him? Because he followed the plan of God. And his last thing, not only did he have power, not only did he have position, but it had prestige. Verse 42. Pharaoh took his ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, made him to ride in the second chariot with he had, and what would happen is that the guards would go before him and they're on horses. They're riding before him. I mean, here they're going through town and they're riding on them horses. And there's a bunch of guards in front of him. And here comes Joseph on the back in that chariot behind them. And they're crying out before he ever gets there, "Bow the knee!" Here's a man just not long before mentioned, a man just about 2 or 3 years earlier, whatever time it was. Here's a man sitting in the prison, in the dungeon of a prison, couldn't even move his hands. And now here he is at age 30, and God has brought favor into his life to the point that even when he goes through town, everybody has to bow before him. Why? Because he followed the plan of God. Joseph never wavered in character. He was the same when he was at home wearing a coat of many colors as he was the day that he was sold into slavery. He was the same in that pit as he was the day that Potiphar's wife ripped his coat off of him. He was the same in that prison as he was the day that he went to the palace. Nothing changed him except God. And folks, if you and I want to get to the place of God's favor and want to reach that place of influence, then we've got to hear his opportunity knocking. Could this be your time? Could this be it? And if it is time, and it's your time, how long are you going to wait? How long are you going to keep putting it off? And how long do you think it's going to stay there and knock? This could be your time. This could be your moment that God will turn that situation around. It could be right now, this very instant, that God says, if you move, and if you do what I ask you to do this morning, this will be your defining moment that I will take this and turn it around for my glory. Do you hear it knocking? Is your opportunity knocking this morning? This is yours. This is yours. You know what? For some of you, the opportunity is knocking for you to be saved. Jesus says, I went to the cross for you. I died, took your sin. You've already been forgiven. What you need to do now is come and accept. And you can come and accept, and you can have eternal life. And your opportunity is knocking. And for others, God's saying, you've been patient. You've been patient through these circumstances. You've been patient and you've had character through these ordeals. And hey, my opportunity is knocking right now for you. It's here right now. Will you move? Will you move? And for others, God says, you know what? You're right. You did cause that mess yourself. And you're swimming in it right now. But you know what? Opportunity's knocking. It's here for you today. And my grace will get you out of that. Oh, you don't deserve it. You got yourself into it. But you know what? I love you. I love you. And I'm here. I'm here right now to get you out of it. Will you move? Let's stand.